Ladies and gentlemen, trees and multiforms, welcome to the podcast.
Robo fucking cop.
As far as I'm concerned, Bruce Willis can go get a bag of dicks.
Get off my shit.
It is. It is. All right. Just adjust my mic levels down a bit so it's not destroying things. Test, test, test. Sonic. Sonic boom. Boom, 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 boom. Okay. That's much better, I think. That should be less ear-blowing. Yeah, that's true. Okie dokie. All right, well, I'm good to go, so.
Yeah, I'm good to go.
All right, let's do it.
All right, let's do it.
There we go. All right, so, ladies, gentlemen, trees, and multiforms, welcome to the last podcast, at least under this name. As we cackle madly in the vernacular.
Yes, I've got to say, that's your name. Your name is Ethan. My name is Darren.
Yes.
You're doing the doctor's entrance thing.
Mm-hmm.
You don't sound like a woman.
No, no, but you know, I've seen enough feminist movies lately that my penis has fallen off. So.
Okay. Well, it happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, podcast.
Yep, podcast. Do you remember these? Over a year, probably about a year and a half now.
Yeah, it's definitely been over a year since we posted one, but
yes.
I guess we'll just have to see.
Yep, family life and all.
Family life and all, and equipment issues and all that good stuff, but I miss it. I really do.
Me too.
I also spend a lot of time listening to podcasts that get ratings that are nearly as good as ours. So
yeah,
it kind of makes me want to get into it. Kind of show these people up more.
Yeah. And on my other podcast, it's been kind of like herding cats to get people recording. So I got kind of sick of. I think I scheduled a podcast for. We were trying to record once a month, and I tried to get them together for 4 months. And each time something happened. And so, and every time I sort of put out a question out there saying, hey, let's get together and record, I just heard crickets for 2 weeks. So I was like, okay, I'm done trying to plan that out. You guys can figure it out now. So I'm starting to figure stuff out that I can do myself, you know?
Yeah, as far as I can figure that, I think we can pull this off on the
here. Yep. Yep, I would imagine too.
Well, so what are we doing?
Well, the final topic on Confessions of a Movie Snob is something that sort of came out of you want to obviously podcast and talk about a certain film, which we'll talk at length about later. And instead of doing a rehash of our X-Men show where we're going to talk about the X-Men movies, because now there's 10 of them, and ranking various things, instead I said, hey, let's talk R-rated comic book movies, because that's sort of a thing now, what with the success of Deadpool and, of course, Logan.
Sure.
And, you know, and Hollywood, of course, making this out to be a brand new thing and all this nifty, cool stuff happening. And, well, you know, it's not.
It is not. And I'm going to have to apologize. We did some research for this last week, and we were going to record, I think, Friday or something like that, and I was ready, and then we didn't, and then I had kind of forgotten, but, like, the first episode, like, the first one I want to say was it Judge Dredd?
I'm not sure what the first one was. It could have been that one. I'm not sure if The Crow came out right after that or not.
Oh, The Crow is definitely after Judge Dredd, definitely after that, because the first Punisher was before that.
Yes.
And that was R-rated, too.
Right, so I really think that it would be that the... Well, was the Dolph Lundgren Punisher rated R?
Yes.
All right, so then I think... I mean, that's in the 80s. That's 89,
90? That's 89, 90, 90, something right. Like that. It feels like, whatever it is, I mean, we're kind of
swaddling
here, but we're talking 25 years. Almost 30. 30 years. Let's say 30 years now. So, this is the thing. And I guess when it comes down to it, I sort of kind of understand why people are reacting the way that they are, because I understand people in a way, but I don't know if you're actually recording the podcast at the time, but I know that, like, when they announced that I said that what's going to happen with this film, they said it's coming out, they said it's going to have Ryan Reynolds, they said it's going to be R-rated, they said it's coming out today.
Mm-hmm.
And what I said to that was that movie's going to come out, such a surprise hit that nobody's going to know what to do with it. And they're going to think, and like basically every movie after that is going to be Deadpool for a while.
Yep.
And I had basically a couple of reasons for saying that. Like, my main one was that I know that people are stupid about this.
Yeah.
And, I like the movie. We haven't ever talked about it, but I just like Deadpool for a while. But, I did talk to him. I liked it. Some people they just overreact to Deadpool. They're just insane about this. And it had Ryan Reynolds and a bunch of people like talk shit on him. He hit the box office at all.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's still, he's basically making up for his, people are saying he's making up for Green Lantern with Deadpool and all that stuff, and... I don't blame him for anything for the Deadpool and X-Men Origins Wolverine. He had zero control over that. So, I mean, bit, you know...
When it comes down to it, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I guess what I'm saying is that Will Smith and Ryan Reynolds do that because of whatever movie you watch them.
Mm-hmm.
He's good at what he does.
Yeah.
And when he's doing what he does best, when he's basically making his Twitter feed a movie, then that's amazing.
Yeah.
And so, so that worked well.
Yeah, well, that was what was successful about Deadpool, and so... instrumental, I think, and it was the marketing behind it was just, I think to an extent, the studio kind of ignored it, and the marketing department was able to actually do really clever things with it.
I would say yes, everything you're saying is true. I'm not discounting the marketing, I'm not discounting the studio's non-involvement, but I think something that cannot be discounted here is that it came out in February.
Mm-hmm.
The Dead Zone.
Oh, yes.
No good movies ever come out in February. Obviously, a little bit hyperbolic, but I think no. But there's never blockbusters.
Yeah, I mean... speaking of movies, anything comes out in January or February is typically the crap that the studio knows is not very good and knows is just going to be... They're just getting it out to fulfill their obligation and move on. And then stuff that is decent starts coming out in March.
Exactly. And, we say that, but I want to say the last January is actually known that this movie came out of the Dead Zone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's when they released stuff that they just didn't have any money and had no chance at Oscar or something like that.
Yeah.
So, I think that maybe they gave Deadpool a little bit of flog by throwing it out in February. I feel like it came out on Valentine's Day or close to there around there. Maybe they were hoping something like the... I don't know what they're saying. It's true. They're hoping maybe people go out and have on Valentine's Day. They kind of iffy to this already.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe I just proved you right. I just couldn't give a difference. But what we are trying to say is that there are people who think that it is a heart rate.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's a chicken and egg kind of thing. I think the success of it was because it was faithful to the material and respectful of fans, and the fans, by the time the movie came out, fans felt a connection to it and felt a part of it. And fans wanted it to be rated R, and so they made it rated R. And I really don't think the rated R had a huge impact on it, to be honest. I think, if anything, it probably did detract from some of the box office, just because the PG-13. But I think at this, in this day and age, it's the Marvel method is you know, you're going to go see a Deadpool movie because you want to go see Deadpool. I think if they put out a PG-13 version, there would have been some people who've been disappointed, but they were going to go see it anyway.
Right, and that's true. And so, you know, I don't know. I've never thought of this. You know, I can't really make up my mind by this if you are like helped it or hurt it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, either way, I don't get a major impact. I think the one people are honestly reacting to here is that it was this. I mean, I want to support the material, which it was, but it was just a lot of demographic. And, you know, that demographic, you know, was funny, like the raunchy, funny, you know, violent stuff going on. And I think that's what people are reacting to. And, you know, so we're going to be seeing an onslaught of R-rated comic books. So whether that's a good thing or bad thing, we can't say for sure, I guess. The closest that we've gotten to a bad R-rated comic book movie since then, I would say is the extended director's cut thing of Suicide Squad, but that movie was kind of a mess to begin with.
Yeah.
It was also an afterthought. They tried to make it happen after the fact, so it wasn't really
structured. No, and that Suicide Squad movie was a bit of a tangled mess, alone. I haven't seen the extended cut of it. I also haven't seen the extended cut of Batman v Superman, which was rated R.
I thought it was
rated R.
No, the extended cut of Batman v Superman is much better. Well, it just kind of puts some connective tissue in there and makes the whole thing work better. I mean, it'd be like me and Jesse Eisenberg or Kevin Batfleck or those elements are going to fix that for you.
Yeah.
But there are some connective tissue in there that just kind of fills it up and more so makes a slightly better watch. And it doesn't, I guess it's like half an hour longer.
Yeah, it's about 3 hours long. The director's cut.
It doesn't feel as long.
Mm-hmm.
And I have Suicide Squad on the side, and Ignited noticed the difference.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed some more Joker shit, but I didn't notice anything totally different.
Yeah.
I don't think it really helped it for Carpenter.
Yeah. Now, and for the record, we were on the Dolph Lundgren Punisher came out in 1991, and it is the first R-rated comic book movie. And this,
yeah, I knew it wasn't like the 60s.
Yeah, no, and the Judge Dredd was actually Judge Dredd's actually the fifth. The Crow came out about a year before Judge Dredd, and between that, May 14th, 1994. And then Time Cop after that, and Tank Girl after that, and then Judge Dredd. Yeah. So I mean, it's been around. There's plenty of movies in there. The 90s obviously weren't a big time for comic book movies. The late 90s sort of saw the birth of the resurgence of comic book, or the birth of the comic book movie as we have grown to know about it now. But
there has been this resurgence, and if we're going to talk R-rated like we are, we can't really discount the fact that before we had Spider-Man, which a lot of people call of the modern age, and that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if that's the birth of modern age than the act of voyage leading up to those places.
Yeah.
And I want to say
Spider-Man,
am I right?
Yeah, I mean, Blade came out in 98. Blade 2 came out in 2002, which I think Spider-Man is what came out around then.
Spider-Man would have come out in 2002 because it came out the same summer as Tech and Flow. I think that was 2002.
Oh, Spider-Man. Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man was 2002.
So, we had at least two Blade movies that were kind of leading up to that. The leading up to the birth of Spider-Man. I guess X-Men came out before that. So, I mean, it's all kind of a mess and all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm. And it's what it's led to is this sort of resurgence of these rated R comic book movies that the studios are getting. But in classic studio fashion, I think the studios don't understand the concept of that. They're saying, oh, well, we can do rated R ones now. But Logan came out and managed to actually tell a very compelling story, a very adult story, but it wasn't the rated R part of it, the violence, the gore, really. I don't even want to say gore. There's really gore in the movie.
There's a couple of, like, captions.
Yeah, but it wasn't, like, but it's not, that's not the central point of the movie.
No, that's a good movie. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
This was probably the great movie, but
it's a silly fun movie, is what it is.
Yeah, it's a very good movie, and it's better than, I don't know, 80% of all the comic book movies ever made. Now, all that being said, it was what it was, and it was silly, and it was over the top, and it didn't have nudity, and it didn't have sex, and it didn't have gore, and it didn't have drugs, and it had all that kind of stuff.
But even then with Deadpool, the violence and the I'm going with the violence thing, wasn't the central aspect of the movie. It was still somewhat of a comedy.
No. And you're right, but it was kind of like the raunchy comedy.
Yeah.
And with Logan, it's more of a security thing.
Mm-hmm.
I look back on Logan, and, you know, I can remember some decapitations.
Yeah.
I can definitely remember X-23 or X-24 or whatever the girl's name is. Like,
oh, yeah.
Killing people. But, you know, I can't think of any, like, you know, foul scenes, and I don't remember any hardcore sex scenes, and I don't remember. I mean, it was like, it was almost uncomfortable to watch. I mean, because there was very adult themes and very adult elements in there, and I don't mean like sex, I don't mean like drugs, I mean like dementia. I mean like reaching the end of your life. I mean, dealing with parenthood, with things like that.
Right.
And, yeah, so I did see Logan. I have not got a chance to check out Logan Noir yet. I definitely want to.
I've got it. We've got it on our Plex. I haven't watched that yet either. Yes, very much. But I mean, go ahead.
I just want to sneak this in here, but I feel like if I talked about movies and comic book movies and stuff on this podcast before, and X-Men has come up, I've said something along the lines of how I don't particularly like the X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
How, like, yeah, I liked X-Men 2 quite a bit.
Yeah.
I liked X-Men Origins Wolverine. I didn't particularly like First Class. I hated the Days of Future Past. The first X-Men movie, I'm kind to it because it's like an old friend.
Right.
The third one, I don't do as much as everybody else, but it's fine. Et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
I love Logan. I love that movie. That's why it enters into my top 5 comic book movies of all time. I discuss that movie in the same breath that I will, like, Batman Begins. Cap 2, like, Rogue's Perdition.
Right.
That was just such a fan.
Another R-rated comic book movie.
Another R-rated comic book movie. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, and that's the thing here is they made Rogue's Perdition R-rated because, you know, it almost feels like because it's outside of this of the comic book studio system. Mm-hmm. When I say that, I mean they're not making, you know, Captain America or Superman or Batman or any of that stuff, and they're hoping to get the teenagers to it. They made it based off of the source material, which worked. But at the same time, I don't think you should necessarily turn around and make an R-rated Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I don't think it
was like when the studio, I mean, Warner Brothers announced they would be open to making an R-rated Batman film, and I was like, that really isn't the point of Batman, though. And
it
does work with the Batman that they put forward in Batman v Superman. Yes, very much so. It fits, because I mean that Batman is much more of an R-rated Batman. Yes. I kind of expect, though, with Justice League to come out, that they're going to tone that down.
We'll still have to see.
Yeah.
That movie, it definitely has the ingredients to not be good.
Mm-hmm.
And I because of Zack Snyder leaving, because of John Cage, different from them.
Mm-hmm.
From them clearly trying to fix something.
Yes.
You know, whenever you try to fix something, it makes it worse. You know, we saw what you did with Wonder Woman. They didn't fucking mess. Wonder Woman was very good.
Yes.
Very good. But I don't know. And you know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Justice League is going to be the most amazing movie ever made.
Mm-hmm.
But
well, and they didn't even make Wonder Woman rated R in order to make it good. You know.
Yeah, they got it.
Yeah.
They understood it.
Yeah. I think part of that, from what I understand, with Wonder Woman was the director, Patty Jenkins, basically standing her ground on various subjects. Was, no, I'm going to do it this way, and you can suck it.
I find it, maybe we're going off topic a lot here, but that's
yeah.
What I mean.
Yeah.
What I kind of heard, it's kind of interesting that, like, when you see, like, you know, the press has come out after Wonder Woman, the kind of the star of it turned out to be Patty Jenkins.
Mm-hmm.
And there's all these Patty Jenkins stories. And one that is blowing my fucking mind is that she had to stand her ground and force them to put in the No Man's Land scene.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Mm-hmm.
That they tried to say, don't do that. That was like the action centerpiece of the movie. They want that in there.
Yeah. Well, and what they wanted to do is skip that scene and go straight to the fight in the town. And it's like, no. to me, it rings just like the studio wanting to not film the death of Don Corleone in The Godfather. You know, it's like...
The stories of the studios not wanting to put Over the Rainbow in Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
Like, you know, what the hell were they thinking?
Clear evidence that studios are stupid sometimes.
Studios can be stupid sometimes. It's just like, I don't know. The whole R-rated thing. I mean, I don't. What are your thoughts on it? Because I don't know that I could necessarily write a paragraph about what I think about it. Like, I just kind of see it as a thing. I mean, I don't see it as even a noteworthy thing. I think, are you going to ask me, should the comic book movies be rated R? Yes.
Yes.
Water's wet.
Yes, I agree. But what I don't want to see, okay, let me start with what I want to see. What I want to see is with R-rated comic book movies, I want to see movies like Deadpool, like Logan, who use that R-rated comic book, that R rating, to tell a better story, instead of being R-rated for the sake of being R-rated. Because we don't need an R-rated Fantastic Four. We don't need an R-rated Spider-Man. We don't, because those aren't R-rated stories. And to me, we don't need an R-rated Wonder Woman or Aquaman or anything like that. That's not what we need. I still would argue we don't need an R-rated Batman v Superman.
Well, we don't. That's a DVD.
Yeah.
Because it didn't do well in the theater.
Yeah, well, and that whole thing very much smelled like we could put this out as an R-rated thing, just to piggyback on this whole Deadpool thing, saying, hey, see, we did an R-rated one. And from what I understand, it's barely R-rated, if that, and it just smelled like some studio executive wanting to jump on a bandwagon. And that's what I'm afraid of with the R-rated trend for comic book movies, is that a studio, thankfully I think Marvel Studios is being pretty smart about it, because one, they've got a formula, they know to stick to it. They're making an average of $700 million a movie without even trying. So they're like, we're not going to change what we're doing because we're making dump trucks of money anyway. But
yeah, we don't need an R-rated fucking like Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Right.
That's where we know this is where they fail.
Right.
And
that very much is a Disney knowing how to do business, because as it was put forward to me with Disney and taking control of Star Wars, taking control of Marvel, was Disney has never been able to capture that teenage boy market. So
right.
They stopped trying and bought the things that the teenage boys want to see, and now they're like, okay, well, they want to see this. We're not going to mess with that. We're just gonna cash the checks.
Yeah, exactly. They do as well. I mean, I'm kind of curious. Clearly, they know what they're doing with Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, they know what they're doing with Marvel. And I'm going to go on a limb here, and I don't know if it's appropriate or inappropriate or whatever. I can see the need for the R-rated comic book movie.
No.
I can see, and you know, obviously we're talking about movies. Movies is kind of superficial, but I can see that for an R-rated comic book movie. I don't ever want to see an R-rated Star Wars movie.
No.
That I think is misunderstanding.
Yes.
Or it's being part of the audience.
Right.
And maybe the average Star Wars movie goer wants the R-rated movie, and I'm just,
right. And I think Rogue One is about as dark a Star Wars movie as we need to get. You know?
Yeah.
I don't see Disney's not dumb, and they're not gonna go into that universe that is a very much a fan loved universe that for decades that and basically start telling R-rated stories and start having, you know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll in there. Disney's not dumb; they're not gonna do that. But I think what we're going to see is a resurgence of some R-rated, more independent works or mainstream comic book works. You know, I mean, like a couple of years back, we had Kick-Ass and we had Dread, which you remember. I love the crap out of that movie. Dread was fantastic.
Oh, I did too. I was kind of wondering if this small R-rated movie Dread gonna get the
I wish that would be fantastic, but they're Netflix or some other Netflix no not Netflix someone's doing a series
HBO, right?
It's not HBO, it's still another production company. I don't think they've landed a deal yet. They're just working on it.
Carl Urban says he's not necessarily out.
Right. The people doing it said, we've talked to Carl Urban, and what they pretty much came out and said was, it all depends on if we can work out schedule with them and work out money, and, you know, there's a lot of things we'd have to do in order to make it work. And,
sure.
You know, we'd love to make it work, but there's a chance we can't.
Sure, exactly.
You know, as long as they're telling stories and telling movies that are, you know, telling stories about movies that need that R rating in order to tell that story, I'm perfectly fine with it. But just making an R rating just to have it be R rated and to ride on the coattails of things like Deadpool and Logan and all that is not the right sort of thing to think about.
I think you might be right there when you say that that we might see a resurgence of like independent thing. You know, because like I would be shocked to see like a R-rated thing, Sandman, come out.
Right.
Like, you know, you can see the trailers and it looks all Sandman-y and all that good stuff, and it'll say in the trailer, it'll say from a claimed graphic novel writer, Neil Gaiman.
Right.
Like stuff like that to try to ride the coattails of Marvel movies of the DC of this comic book movie. going on. I think that might be, I think you're on something
next episode. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we're going to see a lot more of this stuff start happening, and we're going to see some things that we wouldn't see otherwise. You know, DC Animated has done a few R-rated things now, which I honestly think, I mean, I didn't think we'd ever see that, you know, but they started doing that before Deadpool came out with
Return of the Joker, or not Return of the Joker, the Killing Joke.
Was Dark Knight Returns R? It's not showing up on the list, so maybe it was just PG-13. But, you know, Batman Killing Joke was rated R, and then they put out Justice League Dark, which was rated R.
I did watch that. I liked that.
No, I haven't watched it yet.
I want to see Justice League Dark proper.
Well, that was one of the announcements at San Diego Comic-Con, is they're doing the live-action one. They're going to do a Justice League Dark.
We've been saying that for 5 years.
Yeah.
Before, when we have, like,
a cast and a script and a director.
Yeah, I keep hearing directors attached to it, but the last one was he left, was it Leapsman? I don't know.
Yeah.
Somebody like that, but they left, and at one point,
yeah, he was involved for a while. I think he helped write the script or something. I don't know. But, I mean, that's going to be going through so many iterations, it's not even going to be funny. But
Justice League Dark, shit, if they did. I think, you know, Justice League Dark, the universe, they did it right.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and it would be interesting. I mean, we're getting some interesting and some nice stories being told in this sort of R-rated universe that they're creating.
You know, when did that Green Lantern animated movie come out? That's been
solid. Oh, jeez, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Same thing with First Frontier, was it?
Mm-hmm.
That one, that had to be R-rated, too. So maybe there's going to be an animated comic book.
Are you talking about Green Lantern First Flight?
Yeah.
I mean,
no.
As I say.
No. What was it? I don't know. But there was a song that came out right around the same time. Yeah. It wasn't on a rig. I'm very surprised.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, that should be R-rated.
Yeah.
That would be Howard the Duck, probably not.
Yeah, no.
well, you know, Howard the Duck probably like,
yeah, very much so.
So I guess that's kind of what we're looking here for, that R-rated comic books would be for a good thing,
year we're getting Kingsman the Golden Circle, and I loved the first Kingsman was fantastic, so
yeah.
And Beth and I actually just saw last night Atomic Blonde, and it's rated R and based on a comic book from Oni Press. It's all right. I think Beth liked it better than I did. It's not what I was really expecting from the trailer. It sort of makes it out look like a sort of a John Wick style action flick, when it's really more of a Jason Bourne style spy flick. And there's nothing wrong with that. It was just not what I was expecting. But it's not a. Have you seen John Wick?
Yeah, I like John Wick.
John Wick's fan. I haven't seen the second one yet, but the first one's is. I mean, it's him being a badass throughout the whole movie. Because I mean, he's very untouchable. He's gets the he gets all messed up, but he is awesome, right? In Atomic Blonde, it's much more like Jason Bourne, where she is capable and she gets the ever loving crap beat out of her. In the movie, right? No, that's Charlize Theron. You're thinking of Lucy.
Yep, I am.
I haven't seen that Ghost in the Shell yet, so. Yeah, and I kind of put that in its own little genre niche, I guess, but. Yeah. Yes. Yes, and there have been, and there will continue to be for many, many years to come. But, I mean, as far as ones that have been announced that I know about is I know Sony is planning on doing an R-rated Venom movie.
Yeah. And that'll work. It'll be kind of weird when they cross it over into Spider-Man.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're gonna have the Tom Hardy Bane movie, which is worse for me.
I'll see that. I'll see Tom Hardy playing Venom. I'm cool with that.
Me too, but I don't really care about Venom.
So. Oh yeah, neither do I. But okay. I have the real suspicion though with the whole Marvel Comics Sony deal is that anything Sony does, Marvel can ignore. If they don't want it included in their universe, they can, like, yeah, we're not going to talk about that. So.
Didn't I hear that Tom Holland let it slip? That's all going to be part of the. Same universe, and he were mad at him for letting it slip. I mean, he's getting himself quite the reputation for letting stuff out.
Well, he's what, 19?
Yeah, 19, something like that.
You know, Venom, it smells like a if it's done right, that could be really cool. But it with Sony's track record,
yeah,
I can see him really screwing that up.
Sony does okay, but they did a fantastic job of bumping.
Amazing Spider-Man? Yes.
I mean, they sunk a franchise in one game.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was a really, really, really bad movie.
Yes.
That was horrible.
I mean, it wasn't bad enough for me to leave the theater. It wasn't Valerian bad, yeah. But it was...
It was awful. I mean,
It's one of those movies that just annoys me because there's a good movie in there, but they just layered on with a trowel so much crap on it that it became bad.
That is a movie that has studio intervention written all.
Oh, yeah.
And it was so awful.
Yes.
So, we're nowhere near an hour, and that's what we're going for.
Yep.
So why don't we spend the rest of our show today, let's just freestyle it, and let's talk about the movies we haven't talked about that have come out in the last year and a half that we want to talk about.
Beth and I saw Valerian last week, and
I heard that was awful.
It is. People who have listened to the show, and you know me, is I will always look for something redeeming in a movie. I very rarely will walk out of a movie theater. I think I've done it maybe 3 times in my lifetime. It's not something I do. And I will watch a movie, and I will look for stuff that is redeeming, that is good about it. I stopped doing that with Valerian about 2/3 of the way in. Because at that point, I just stopped caring. I typically like, for the most part, Luc Besson. I like The Fifth Element. The thing with The Fifth Element is I can buy Bruce Willis playing a guy who can kick my ass. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
But in Valerian, the Dane DeHaan, he's trying to basically... Dane DeHaan is playing a guy... who is trying to be Star-Lord from the Guardians of the Galaxy movie, except he's not nearly a quarter as charming as Chris Pratt. So he comes off as being an arrogant douchebag. And this is the main character of the movie that you're supposed to like. And he and the main actress in it have no real chemistry, and I mean, the movie is very beautiful. It's just it's like almost Avatar level of just really pretty. But it's,
I have heard that. I've heard it's very pretty.
But then the people in the movie start talking, and that ruins everything.
Can't have that.
I think it was about two-thirds of the way through it that, you know, Beth and I are sitting there, and we look at each other, and we both just immediately, like, this movie is awful. And it gets kind of all over the place. I know it's based on a French comic book, and they show you literally all the best stuff in the trailers.
I don't know that I've seen the trailer. I heard about it. It's that Luc Besson movie, right?
Yes. Yes, it's the Luc. It's Luc Besson's return to big filmmaking, and it. Yeah, not. It's not a good return.
Yeah, that's too bad. What was the last thing that he did?
Luc Besson. He's been doing a lot of producing. I think he did Lucy. I think was one that he directed. I want to say, but I mean, he kind of faded away for quite a while. He directed Lucy. Lucy was the last big thing he directed.
Did he produce something?
Yes. He also produced the Taken movies, the Transporter movies. He's a producer on all those movies. But I mean, he directed. Since Fifth Element, he's directed 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. He's done 10 movies since Fifth Element, and after Fifth Element, he did The Messenger.
What else?
After The Messenger, he didn't do a lot for a long time. I mean, nothing big. Arthur III, The War of Two Worlds, and The Lady, The Family, and Lucy. Really, I mean, it's nothing. Nothing. He did a lot of production, a lot of writing is what he did.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's that wasn't that huge of a hit. It just might have been
a cult film.
Full disclosure, I just chased down a dog for somebody that got off the leash, so I'm very distracted. anyway, it was something that kind of hit people our age, maybe not people our age, so maybe it's even bigger than it is.
Mm-hmm.
Throw in the whole Sting element as the greatest movie ever made, and maybe
for being a 90 or the mid 90s, it's a moderate success. It cost $90 million and made $263.9 million. So, in the 90s, that's not a horrible job. But it's by no means is it a fantastically spectacular movie. If you sit down and watch it and compare it to, say, I mean, we keep putting it out there with Guardians of the Galaxy, it's not as good. It's very, very pretty. It's exciting, you know, but it lacks a good solid punch to make it an absolute fantastic film. But it is the Star Wars of the 90s.
Okay. Speaking of Star Wars, we're going to talk about stuff that we've seen that we haven't talked about yet. And I've already alluded to a little bit, but Rogue One. Rogue One came out in December of last year. And I don't know if anybody knows this, but I'm kind of a Star Wars guy. I love these Star Wars. And some people wanted to know what I thought about this movie. And I know you loved it. And my buddy Anthony loved it. Well, loved it. I don't know about Tyler. I haven't asked him. But everybody I know loved it, and I didn't. I guess when I look at it, and I don't hate it by any stretch of imagination, this is actually a first for me. This is the first Star Wars movie that I have not seen in the theater.
Mm.
The exception, I did not see the original Star Wars theater on account of not getting it. So,
Like, that's an excuse.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, I know, right? So, but anyway, so, you know, I didn't think it was that one financial reasons, other stuff going on.
Sure.
And I ended up, I absolutely watched it in another theater at home. There was not a legal in that stretch of it. But I watched it at home. And I glanced at it, I didn't go to the theater because it was. I was actually talking to McD about it last night because he finally got rid of people for so he could get guest David in a typical sleep fashion. I really like Rogue One, and I still like two. And I said, I'm going to actually just room the rest there. And basically, because of the six, you're cooking six.
Yeah.
That will it is very cool.
Yes.
He's less detailed. We were talking a little bit last night, and I'd ask him if he had said no. And I told him my thoughts. My basic thoughts on it were funny. It's the name is, you know, primarily, it's a film. Because that's a good one. It's not a saga movie. It's not episode one. I mean, you can write that. I mean, he can feel like it's own thing. I believe that it felt like $100 million.
Sure.
And when it comes down to it, there's a couple of things that people really talk about it with it. And by the way, everybody, one of the big things that everybody talks about is it felt so cool, it's so great, it's so dark. All the main characters die. And I don't care if they die. I mean, like, I'm not being jerk, I'm not saying I wanted them to die, but it didn't give me enough time to really care about them, to really expect anything else out of them. Like, kind of leading up to it, I was interested to see if maybe Jin had something to do with Rey. But, you know, they didn't figure that out, they're like, killing her. And it wasn't even, like, they killed her very spectacularly, even. I mean, the Donnie Yen character got shot up another time. And everybody else got blown up. I mean, that's just kind of lame to me. They introduced the new villain with Krennic, and, you know, they blew them up. They introduced that. My favorite thing about it was they lost Galen Erso. With my Crystal the analog of
Mads Mikkelsen. Yeah, hey, 2016 was a good year for Mads. I'm just going to say.
Yeah, so we had that. I just thought that was a claim. And it don't let thirsty team. I didn't really enjoy that about it. Everybody's talking about the mad ass Oslo North Vader team. And that didn't do anything for me either. It felt so out of place. I mean, he was basically acting like Anakin Skywalker and cutting through the map and lifting all this shit. And it was cool and all that. But I can't buy that they did that. Then 20 minutes later, well, I guess a day later, he has a little thing to take it over.
Right.
And that was just so sorry. And I just like, it was like I want to look at like the fan film because I can't fit it into the canon of Star Wars in my head. And ultimately, what it came down to ultimately when it comes to this movie, I do not feel like it is going to be. Because on that podcast that we were supposed to be really long film, the host said something very soon. I don't need somebody to come in for it.
That's one of those, movies like Alien versus Predator and Rogue One is you just want to cut out about 2 seconds of film to make a scene better, and that's one of them. They just cut it with just her from behind and just cut, just stop. Don't show her face. yeah, that's.
Yeah,
I agree with you on a few points, but I like that movie just fine. That's the type of film goer I am, though. I mean, I just got finished saying I will look for redeeming qualities of movies too, because I'm there to enjoy myself.
No. Star Wars.
Oh sure, it is your Fantastic Four. Yes. I totally agree.
It might be more fantastic. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But it's Star Wars. And I've managed to like 7 of these fucking things. 3 of them being prequels. And this one, you know how I said the first movie made me worried because the first line in it represents all of the episode 7. But it made me worried because I felt like it was because kind of a smug line. Well, I'm sorry, but the entire premise of Rogue One was smug. The entire premise of it is retconning something that they're trying to perceive as a mistake. It is a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a mistake for armchair critics.
I have a question for you. Along these lines, and we'll need to wrap up in about 10 minutes. But I have a question for you, Star Wars. Do you think that Disney would ever go and remake episodes 1, 2, and 3?
Yes. Yes, I do. When it comes down to it, I think that Disney would remake episodes 4, 5, 6.
I think they do the prequel trilogy before they did anything like that.
Here I go again. I'm being hyperbolic in saying that.
Sure.
But what I'm saying is, I wouldn't put it out for all the possibility that they would remake 4, 5, and 6. So I definitely think they'd remake 1, 2, and 3, but I don't know that they wouldn't do it for moral reasons.
Mm-hmm. They'd do it for monetary reasons, yes.
The only thing that would stop them, the only monetary reason would be that they can make other films. They can make the Boba Fett movie. They can make the Han Solo movie. They can make the Rogue One. They can make the 7, 8, 9. They can do all this stuff. But I do think that they remade, that maybe if they remade the Star Wars prequels, that would make a shitload of money.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. The idea of retconning stuff, it's kind of a... feels like a waste of energy, and I think it's just weird, because I don't remember my talking about this. When the 7 came out, there are these rumors that there was going to be a scene in the movie where you see Jar Jar Binks' bones. And I think killing Jar Jar Binks is really fucking weird.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, show some respect. I mean, they spent fucking almost $4 billion on this. They just it's kind of silly to throw a hat. Say what you will about the movie.
Mm-hmm.
They are probably going to say, did you say that one?
Yeah. Yeah.
Conservatively, did you
say
that
one? Oh, yeah. I definitely think so. I mean, just talking merchandising, I mean, you want to go back and look at how much money the prequel trilogies made just in merchandising in the late 90s and early 2000s is billions of dollars.
I don't think they're morally against it, though.
Well, and despite all the people that hate on those movies, they still went out and bought all those toys.
Yeah, they did. And I still think they bother.
Yeah.
I think that Disney is smart enough. I don't think that Disney's too good, too personal to do it, but I think that they're too smart.
Mm-hmm.
It would be a lot of money for something. I mean, when you get two, you get like Rogue One, you get like Episode 7,
mm-hmm.
and you know, and it's almost like a soft because you know it's not actually going into making it, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. I see where you're coming from, and you have some definite valid points. You do.
I said that I had my concerns about Star Wars, and those concerns were validated by Rogue One, and me as a
As a parent, as a father, I am very much looking forward to my kids experiencing Episode 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, etc. Me as a fan of Star Wars, as a fan of movies, I haven't seen Episode 7 since I saw it in theaters. I haven't had the desire to watch it. I liked it. I liked the movie just fine. But I'll watch Episode 4 maybe once a year. Something like that. I don't know. But I have a desire to rewatch those sorts of things, you know. But Episode 7, I liked it, but I haven't had the big desire to watch it again. And I probably won't read it. I saw it in theaters, and one of the few movies I actually saw in IMAX 3D. it's the Marvel formula. You know, I mean, like I said earlier, it's Marvel's and Disney have this thing down to a formula. They have it down to a and they're not going to stray from that. And so they didn't. And there you go. I think it was a modest success, probably $600 million, I think, something like that. Which is, it did just fine. And I enjoyed it. But at this point, I go to see Marvel movies and I expect it to be a fun and entertaining movie. I don't expect it to surprise me at all. And it didn't. Right. And it didn't surprise me at all.
Now,
so.
Here's what I have to say. I have this sense of rust on my movie for 18 years, my movie understanding. And I think that Dr. Strange is the one that magnifies it the most. Because I look at Dr. Strange, and I thought the story was good. I thought the effects were better than those. They were really good. I thought the Cumberbatch was fucking fantastic.
Yes.
I thought he was incredibly good.
That's
the was very good. I like the kind of like wall.
I thought Mads Mikkelsen was fantastic in it, actually.
Yeah, I did too. And there were no characters I disliked about it. There were no parts about it I disliked about it. I liked the story. He looked comical. He looked like he started with the comic.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot think of a single complaint I have with it, but I didn't like it very much, and I don't know why. I mean, it's so much better at articulating things.
Honestly, I think it boils down to is you've seen it before. It's the Iron Man story that, and they when they're doing an origin story, they're just doing that over and over and over again because it's making them $600 million on the low end, you know.
And I'll say that I thought David Cumberbatch was very good.
Yeah.
I thought the Matt Nicholson was probably. Well, not.
I think he was. I think he's very underrated in that movie because there's a scene in it where he's talking about why he's doing what he's doing, and he's talking. I think it's a scene he's talking about his family. And he's bound at the time, so he's like bound in the thing, and he's crying when he does it. And to me, that was I felt that was a real subtle way that he gave that character some interesting depth. That I wish the movie would have explored, but they didn't.
I cannot think of a time I've laughed at a movie more lately. When he's calling him Mr. Strange, Dr. Strange says, "It's a doctor." Whoa, it's a doctor. The delivery of that was fucking serious, especially
in
all the battles.
Yes.
I don't know. I like.
Yes.
I don't feel calling him Mr. Strange.
No, I don't think you should feel stupid. I think that's a great explanation, a great description of it, honestly. Hey, you know, if they want to finally do a good Dracula movie and not this dark universe crap and have him be Dracula, I'd see that.
Yeah.
I'd be all for that. Yeah.
You know?
I mean, we're talking about studios that just don't get it. There you go. Jennifer Lawrence, probably. I don't know.
There you go. So Jennifer Lawrence is there. Tina, you got a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that movie. It's just great. It's a fun little moment. It's a big brother of ours that has a little beer, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because he played, Charles Augustine Davidson and Sherlock. And he also debuted as the voice of Grand Admiral Thrawn in Star Wars Rebels.
Nice.
So, then a hell of a year for the Bitcoin, I guess.
Yeah. Well, and with that, we need to wrap it up. I think we're going to call it good, stick a fork in it and call it done. And it's been a fun ride as far as the confessions and the red phone zone. And we'll see what's going to happen next, you know?
We'll see what's going to happen next. So, again, until next time, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Ethan.
Let's keep like flying.